supposed to turn, don't you? Week number four. Romans chapter 5. I know you're on the edge of your seat for the conclusion of joy in reconciliation. Romans chapter 5. We've really gone through the first 11 verses pretty carefully. But I will start with verse 6 today. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's describing me. I was ungodly, unlike God in every way. He's holy, I'm sinful. He's righteous, I'm unrighteous in and of myself. And it amazes me. The grace of this is that God would love somebody like me. Somebody so ungodly and unholy and impure and unrighteous. And not just love me, but give his life for me. Give his all so that I would have eternal life. There is no other religion that can match the love of the true and living God in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Men do give their lives for noble causes, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's the only way you can be saved from wrath, is through him. Not through religion, not through repeating a prayer, not through baptism, not through good works. You cannot be reconciled to God any other way but through Jesus Christ alone. Through him. So this morning, if you're trusting in anything else, if you're trusting in your religiosity, your opinions, your righteousness, your observance of baptism and the Lord's Supper as ordinances, if you're trusting in any of that in any way, you're not saved. It's just that simple. It's through him and him alone that you can be reconciled to God. Everything else is refuse in comparison to the perfect work of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, through him, by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved, meaning delivered. Delivered from the condemnation of sin, delivered from the power of sin, delivered ultimately from the very presence of sin. Saved by his life. And not only so, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Joy in God. Joy in reconciliation to God. Now, just as a refresher, the first sermon, we went through Romans 5, 1 through 11, just a verse-by-verse explanation. And then we defined what the terms relating to the death of Christ really mean, and showed that every aspect of the death of Christ, His offering on the cross, every single aspect of that proves that He actually accomplished the work of redemption, the work of reconciliation. And then we look at why people need to be reconciled. A couple weeks ago, I brought out the truth of why do you need to be reconciled? Because you're ungodly. Because you're a sinner. Because you're under the wrath of God. Now, it's not preached much in our religious world today where everybody wants to feel good. You know, and I believe that most preachers today are liars. Because they're telling people 100 different ways to try to feel good about themselves rather than pointing them to Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of sin, from sin. And then last week we looked at the means and method of reconciliation and focused upon what Christ did as the incarnate Son of God who offered Himself, body, soul, and spirit, to redeem us. So this morning, we want to look at the magnificent results of reconciliation. Joy in God. I can't stress this enough. If you don't have any joy in God through Jesus Christ, it means you've never been changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, verse 5 of Romans 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When that love is shed abroad in your heart, you will never be the same. You'll be changed from that very moment for the rest of your life. For me, it was 40 years ago when the Lord changed my heart, changed my life, shed abroad His love by the power of the Holy Spirit. And for the first time in my life, I was brought out of darkness, out of death, into the very life of God that I had once been alienated from. And that very moment, I knew that my whole life from that moment on was to be dedicated to the one who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, we are made when this transaction occurs, when God does this work in us. And it's a heart thing. It's not merely giving or paying intellectual assent to a historical account that we know is true, that Jesus Christ came, that He was born of a virgin, that He lived a perfect life, that He died on the cross for sinners, that He was buried, and that He rose again. Those are all historical facts. But I didn't believe the gospel like I believe Washington crossed the Delaware, or that Washington was our first president, all historical facts. No, this love that was shed abroad caused me to believe from my heart that Jesus Christ loved me personally. So much so that He was willing to give Himself for me to take all of my sins, and there are a boatload of them. There, I have so many sins, I can't even number them. I don't even know the full weight of all of my sins. But Jesus Christ, He knew the full weight. He knew the precise amount. And when He went to the cross, He bore every one of my sins. And He put them away, like we learned last week. And He rose again from the dead. And by virtue of His life, His death, His blood, His resurrection, I have life in Jesus Christ. We're made to see Christ Jesus and His blood as the means of our reconciliation to God. Before I was saved, that meant nothing to me. Before I was converted, sure, I believed that God existed. But I, for all intents and purposes, I was a practical atheist. Because it didn't change me in any way. But I tell you what, when God saved me, everything changed. Because God gave me the grace to believe that I was bought with a price. With the blood of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. That I belong to Him. That my life from that moment forward would be one of allegiance, loyalty, and love to the One who loved me with an everlasting love. And I'm going to tell you, it is by far the greatest thing that has ever happened to me to know Christ, to be forgiven, to have His love shed abroad in my heart, to change me so thoroughly that He likens it being translated out of darkness and ignorance into the light and the kingdom of God's dear Son. And for the first time in my life, I actually experienced real joy in believing. We're justified by faith, and God's anger against us has been appeased and propitiated. His eternal wrath has been satisfied and quenched by the precious blood of the everlasting covenant that was offered by the Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary. God accepted that sacrifice, and now because of Him, God accepts me. That's why I've got joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because now that the righteousness of Christ has been given to me, it's the doctrine of imputation, been charged to my account, now God looks at me through the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus. God no longer sees us as ungodly sinners and enemies that are in opposition to Him and hateful. Now, He sees me through the righteousness of His only begotten Son, because I am in Christ. Now the Father views us through the imputed righteousness of His only begotten Son, who is the holy and the just one. You remember at the baptism of Jesus Christ, when He said, when the Lord said, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And He was baptized by John the Baptist in the river of Jordan. And the heavens opened and a dove descended, and God spoke, and He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know, that's how God looks at me now, in Christ. This person, Tom Ross, who walked according to the course of this world, who was ungodly and unholy and impure and unrighteous and immoral, who was a drunkard and a doper, God doesn't see me that way. He sees me through the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see why you have joy in God. Why our hearts ought to be overflowing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why it should be just a natural thing for us to be joyful in our God, because He's put away our sins. He's taken away our condemnation. And now He looks at me through the righteousness of the Son of God. And we are complete in Christ. You know what that means? Nothing needs to be added. We're complete in Him. Christ is enough. Nothing else needs to be added for God to accept you. If you're in Christ, you're complete. You're accepted in the Beloved. Now, all of that deals with our legal standing before God. I'm justified, declared not guilty. My sins are put away. I am forgiven. And all of that truth fills me with joy. But that's not all. This message, this message of reconciliation doesn't stop with just changing your legal status before God. It goes beyond that. 1 Peter 3:16, "For Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God." See, the blood of Jesus Christ not only puts away my sins, but it brings me to God, into a real relationship with God. I talk to God every day. I listen to Him through His Word every day. I have a genuine relationship with the one that I've been reconciled to. The work of reconciliation actually brings us to God to experience His love, His grace, His power. We're restored to His favor, to His friendship, to the fellowship of God. And I'm here to tell you, there's no greater friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got some great friends. My family loves me, and it thrills my heart that my children and my grandchildren love me and respect me and care about me. I've got friends all over the country that I'm so grateful for. But none of them can match the friend who laid down his life for me. The friendship and relationship that I have with the one who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, joy in being reconciled to God will result in a relationship of obedience, loyalty, worship, devotion. And when I fail in any of those things, and I have, and I will, I get troubled. It convicts me. Our hearts should be overflowing with love for God. And the message and the ministry of reconciliation. Where people were saved in the New Testament, their lives consisted of showing forth the light of Christ. You go all the way through the book of Acts, and you'll find that the message had one continual theme. Those who were saved by the grace of God told others that Christ was the way to be saved. Acts 4, verse 10, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, or be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which the builders set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." They preached the real Jesus, the real, true Savior of sinners. They said in Acts chapter 5 and verse 28, as they responded to the threats of the Jewish council, "Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." You know what it cost them? They were beaten. They were imprisoned. And it says in verse 41, "They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They went everywhere with this message and this ministry of reconciliation. In Acts chapter 8, when God brought Philip to the eunuch, and the eunuch asked It says in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture in Isaiah 53 and preached unto him Jesus. And he asked, well, what does hinder me to be baptized? And by the way, there ain't no way that that is ever asked to an infant. There's no such thing in the Bible as infant baptism. I love that old tract, what the Bible teaches about infant baptism, and you open it up and it's blank because there's nothing in here about baptizing babies. A baby has never asked when the priest is about to drop some water on him, hey, what doth hinder me to be baptized? No, they don't even know where they're at. They don't have any idea what's going on. It's nonsense. He said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Why can't I be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His heart had been changed by the power of God. He preached unto him Jesus. That's the only message I got for you. When it comes to being reconciled to God, woe be unto the preacher that tells you, just be baptized, just join a church, just reform your life, just try to do some good works, throw a few bucks in the offering box. Become a social justice warrior. None of those things save. In fact, those things, people trusting in those things, are damning people. The word of reconciliation is all bound up in the perfect work of Jesus Christ alone. Gives a message that he preached to the Gentiles. Acts 10, verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. One common theme all the way through. Those who were saved are declaring to others the way of reconciliation. One of my favorites is Acts 13, 38 and 39. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Christ Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. When the Philippian jailer was all troubled about his sin, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How'd they answer him? Go to church. Get religion. Follow these steps. Pray this prayer. Shake the preacher's hand. Get baptized. No, what was the message? It was so simple and direct. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That's it. That's all I got for you. That's what they preached consistently all the way through. Acts 17, 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reason with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ, the anointed of God, the one sent to be the Savior. See, I don't need a special time of the year to preach at. I preach it all the time. Pray today that your life's been changed. And that it is on your heart to tell others that Christ is the way of reconciliation. And perhaps the greatest joy of all in being reconciled to God is the assurance that we'll spend eternity in His glorious presence, clothed with the perfect righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you fear death? I don't have an ounce of fear when it comes to dying, because I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't know how I'm going to die. Well, to be honest, I may not even die. The rapture could happen. I could be called away, according to 1 Thessalonians 4. I may not die. But if I do die, I'm going to go be with the Lord. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 2. In verse 21. Trying to get over there. Yeah, it's Colossians 1. Hey, Rose, I missed it again. I wrote that down wrong. She corrected me once already on that. Colossians 1, verse 22, or 21 and 22. Let's just go ahead and read verse 20. Let's just read all of Colossians. Now, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. This is how I'm going to be presented, without blame, all because of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 50 and 11 says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Joy in reconciliation. It's going to last throughout all eternity. I hope you know Him. Let's all stand. Page number